ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
अहर्यद्ब्रह्मणो विदुः रात्रिं युगसहस्रान्तां देवो रात्रविदो जनाः।
By human calculation, a thousand ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night.
अव्यक्ताव्यक्तयः सर्वाः परवन्त्यहरागमे रात्र्यागमे प्रलीयन्ते तत्रैव व्यक्तसंज्ञके।
At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter, in the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again.
Text number 19.
Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. I was speaking about last time the cosmic creation. We will briefly see that again. How many of you are not there in the last class? Almost half of you. It is explained that the spiritual world has innumerable spiritual planets.
यस्य प्रभा प्रभवतो जगदण्डकोटिम् कोटि कोटिश्वशेषवसुधाभिभूतिभिन्न।
इट् इस् सेड् यस्य प्रभा प्रभवतो जगदण्डकोटिम्। देर् आर् क्रोर्स् आफ् स्पिरिचुवल् प्लानेट्स्, जस्ट् लैक् हियर् इन् द स्कै यु सी देर् इस् सन् मून् स्टार्स् अण्ड् सो मेनी प्लानेट्स् आर् देर्। लैक् देट् इन् स्पिरिचुवल् वर्ल्ड् आल्सो देर् आर् इन्यूमरबल् प्लानेट्स्। यस्य प्रभा प्रभवतो जगदण्डकोटिम्, मेनि मेनि प्लानेट्स्, and they all are floating in the Prabha. Prabha is the Prakash, or Brahma Jyoti. So Brahma Jyoti is like a vast ocean, and in that ocean of effulgence, infinite effulgence, these planets are floating. And in every one of those planets, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, is residing in various forms. Like when we put tilak every day, we chant many names, isn't it? Keshavaya Namah, Narayana Namah, Madhavaya Namah, Govindaya Namah, Vishnu Namah, Mumasana Namah, Kirtikamaya Namah, Vamana Namah, Sridharaya Namah, Rishikeshaya Namah, Padmanabhan Namadvayana, all that. So if you read the teachings of our Chaitanya, very vividly it is explained there how there are different forms of Vishnu existing in different spiritual planets. They are all called as Vaikuntha planets. And the supreme planet amongst the Vaikuntha planets is Goloka Vrindavan, which is Krishna's planet, where Lord Krishna is residing himself there. Even planets like Ayodhya are there in the spiritual world. What we call as Ayodhya here is only a replica of that in the material world. It's a copy in the material world. Like Bhauma Vrindavan is actually a replica of the Goloka Vrindavan. Similarly, Bhauma Ayodhya in the material world is actually a replica of the original Ayodhya in the spiritual world. So, Prabhupada gives example, like sometimes there is an American embassy in India. You have seen that? In India, American embassy. So when you go into American embassy, the laws that exist there are not Indian laws, they are American laws. You all are aware of it? When you go into American embassy, there are many rules and regulations they have. In the same way, Our temples, like we have so many ISKCON temples in various places, so Prabhupada used to call them as embassies of the spiritual world. Or even the Vrindavan or Mathura or Dwaraka or Ayodhya, they are all like embassies of the spiritual world. Where Lord comes and performs pastimes, and gives us a glimpse of what is actually going on in the spiritual world. Spiritual world is a place of joy. There is no birth, there is no death, there is no old age, there is no disease. Every living entity is non-envious, it is pure-hearted. We are relishing, loving reciprocation with the Supreme Lord. So that is the spiritual world which is surrounded by this infinite effulgence, Brahman effulgence. But somewhere around the corner, somewhere in one corner, just like in Pune city there is Eravada in one corner, and Eravada there is a jail with big walls. Like that in the corner of Brahma Jyoti there is Mahatattva, there is Creator. So they say, Lord Krishna, when he wants to give an opportunity for the living entities who want to enjoy independently, he doesn't do anything himself. He just expands his Mahavishnu. That is explained in Brahma Samhita. There he explains, Yakaranarna Vajale Bhajati Sma Yoga Nidramananta Jagadanda Saroma Kupaham Adhara Shakti Mavalambya Param Samurti Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma is explained like this. Yakarana Arna Bhajale Bhajati Sma Yoga. Karana Arna is this. Karana. Karana ocean means causal ocean. The cause is the desire of the living entity to be separate from Krishna. So when the living entity desires like that, in that ocean, Krishna expands as Mahavishnu. In fact, he expands as three Vishnus. Vishnus to Trini Rupani. Trini Rupani is the three Vishnu forms. That we can understand after I explain the full creation. So from Mahavishnu's body, Jagadanta the Roma Kupa. Roma Kupa means the hair pores. From the pores of his body, innumerable Brahmandas are coming. Maharishna has a huge body, a huge form. And from it, so many Brahmandas are emanating, like seeds. And then gradually they are growing bigger and bigger. And then on all these Brahmandas, in every Brahmanda, again the same Mahavishnu enters them. And he inhabits the Brahmandas by creating water from his own body, just like we create perspiration from our body. To do further, then he created all the varieties of plants. There are several varieties of plants and trees. And then he created the beasts, which have four legs, which have, and the birds that fly in the sky, chara, achara, everything he created after that. Then he created the demigods, the Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, and the human beings. So all these things are vividly explained in the discussion between Maitreya and Vidura, I think. It's in third canto. You can read it to know more about how Brahmaji went about creating. And how he created the Chatushkumaras, all those things are explained. But then, after that, when Brahma wanted to expand the population in the world, because many, many souls were in the queue, who wanted to be born in the material world, but he could not avoid them bodies. So he requested his Chatushkumara sons, Sanat Sanatan, Saran Sanatma, that you procreate. And they were not interested in procreating activities, rather they felt that we should just meditate on the Supreme and go back to Godhead. Then Brahma became very angry. Then, because of his anger from his between the eyebrows, the child was born which was bluish in color. When child was born, he was called as Rudra because he cried. He actually cried coming out of the middle forehead, and he prayed to Brahma, please give me a residence and also give me a name. So God gave him the name Rudra and gave him 11 residences for his 11 expansions. So there are 11 Rudras. And he also offered him Rudranis also, who are actually Durga, with different names. And told them, now I have given you the facilities, now you procreate and fill up the universe with population, because my first persons are not ready to procreate. And then Rudra started procreating. And he started creating ghosts and spirits and hobgoblins. So many fierce forms. And all of them with their nails and sharp eyes, they started attacking Brahma himself from all directions. Brahma said, what have you done? Then he told Rudra, please kindly take all these people away and you take them along with you, and better you go to Shmashan or some forest and you sit and simply meditate. Because anybody whose mind is uncontrolled, he should better sit and meditate. So that he becomes calm. And he said, of course I will need your help, but not now. When I have to annihilate the whole universe, at that time I will call you. You better go and meditate. And Rudra obliged and he went for meditation. Because in meditation you can achieve everything. When you chant God's name, our vision becomes more subtle, our heart jumps and swells in great joy, senses become completely controlled and calm, and one can see the world properly. So Rudra agreed to meditate and he went away. So after this, Brahma was wondering how to create. Now I am finding, although the material world is so vast and there is need of creation, there is no one ready to create. At that time, all of a sudden he found, from Brahma's own body, one male form and one female form came. So one male form with mush and female form with swarandas, as he explained in Bhagavatam. They came. And he was wondering, how did they come? I didn't create them. So that was arranged by God, Krishna himself. So these two forms came and they united. And from them, five children were created. This male and female form, anybody knows about that? Svayambhuva Manu is the first Manu. Svayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa. So these were actually created by Krishna himself. And from them came five children, Priyavrat, Uttanapad, two male children and three female children. Akuti, Bhoguti, Prasuti. So Akuti was married to Ruchi, the great sage Ruchi. And Devuti was married to Kardama. And Prasuti was married to Sarai. Akuti, Devuti, yeah, Prasuti. She was married to Daksha. And from Daksha and Prasuti, Daksha had many, many daughters, and 13 daughters he gave to Dharma. Based on their propriety. So these are the five people from whom the entire population has expanded, whole creation. One interesting news I got when I went to Bombay just recently. According to Darwin, the creation was done everywhere, all over. Human beings actually evolved from monkeys all over the universe, all over the earth. That was his understanding. But recently scientists have found out that this theory is wrong. They say there are only 7 female forms somewhere in Africa according to them, from whom all the human beings have originated. And similarly some male forms, they have drawn even the pictures how these female forms must have been, because now the existing ears and the nose, type of nose we have, ears we have, and the face cuts we all have, based on that and the bones and everything, they have arrived at 7 forms of females, based on which they say these are the ones what they are called as actually original mothers or something like that, original fathers and original mothers who have actually procreated all over the earth like that. At least we were happy that they have come to some understanding, similar to what Bhagavatam is saying. Before they come to know these 5 progenitors of mankind created by Brahma. So all of them, they populate the universe, and then all the living entities get bodies, and the 3 modes are in action, and the whole world becomes very, very active. Birds are flying in the sky, and trees are producing fruits, minerals are coming, and the jewels are made in the ocean, the living entities take all the facilities and they enjoy independent of Krishna, thinking they are the supreme enjoyers. Actually the 6th creation, what Krishna created was the darkness or the ignorance, when the wise living entity considers himself to be the body and becomes a food. That is the 6th thing that Krishna created out of the 10 creations. So the living entity imagines I am the enjoyer and is running here and there. And here in this verse, it's explained about Brahma. And Brahma is actually the topmost amongst all the demigods. And here Krishna explains how long Brahma lives. You can make a calculation. There are 4 ages: Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. And Kali Yuga has 432,000 years. Dwapara has twice that, Treta has twice, and Satya has 4 times that. So 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1, 10. So if you multiply 4,30,000 by 10, it is 43 lakhs. So this is called as one Divya Yuga. So one Divya Yuga has how many? Four ages. That is Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. So here he says, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. 1,000 such Divya Yugas combined becomes one Brahma's day. This is one day of Brahma. Just imagine how long it will be. So if you make calculations, it will be very long. And so also he says, Ahar Yad Brahmano Vidhu. Same is also Krishna's night, Ratran Yuga Sahasranta, he says. That is also 1,000 Divya Yugas. So day is 1,000 Divya Yuga and Ratri is 1,000 Divya Yuga. So one Divya Yuga itself is 43 lakh years. So 1,000 Divya Yugas, you can imagine. So 43 lakh years multiplied by
430
lakh crores. So you can go back and make a calculation and see how much is one Brahma's day. So what happens in Brahma's day, Brahma's night also is explained in the subsequent verses. But at the dawn of creation there is something called as Mahakalpa. Mahakalpa is creation of Brahma himself. As I was telling you, Brahma comes from the lotus. And there is Mahapraya, which is the end of the Brahmanda itself. But in between Mahakalpa and Mahapraya, there are many Kalpa Pralaya, Kalpa Pralaya cycles. In Brahma's day, there is Kalpa. Just like you have seen this sinusoidal wave, like this one. There are big waves and small waves. So there are sub-Kalpas and sub-Pralayas between one Mahakalpa and one Mahapralaya. So in Brahma's, there is a Kalpa and Brahma's day, Brahma is active and all the things are active in the world. And Brahma's Pralaya day, Brahma's night, what happens? Actually, Narayana also, Garbhakshana, sorry, Vishnu also closes his eyes. And then Brahmaji also goes to sleep. And then the whole Brahmanda comes to a halt. Just like putting down a curtain and winding up the activities. Everything comes to a halt. Like a night, everyone is supposed to rest, isn't it? Like we all rest in the night. And then again, next day morning, we wake up. So in Brahma's day, again, things become very active. So, this cycle is very vividly explained in the scriptures. Satya Yuga is called as a golden age. Treta is called as a silver age. And Dwapara is called as bronze age. And Kali is called as iron age. That's why there are so many iron steel industries in the other town. Like this industries here. Iron steel industries. This is Kali Yuga. So gradually, like these metals are representing from golden to iron, similarly the quality is also gradually diminished. From Satya Yuga, it is said Satya Yuga people are so pure. And sometimes you see, when they show the Chanakya movie, Chanakya is walking, and in the background you hear so many people chanting Vedic mantras in Gurukulas like that. In Satya Yuga, anywhere you go, people will be talking about God. It's very common for people, very natural, to see the Brahminical culture. Cows are being very nicely cared for, women and children are protected, old people are greatly respected, and all the, wherever you turn around, you find hermitages, rishis living. Even in Mahabharata Ramayana you find that, isn't it? Like when Rama goes to father, he finds the entire range of mountains, he's finding so many rishis and munis sitting near the banks of the rivers, completely in trance. So it's very common. But then in Treta, Dwapara, Kali, gradually things diminish. And chaotic condition, that Lord comes as Kalki Avatar, and he brings up great destruction. And the destruction is explained. What happens towards the end of Kali Yuga? After the Kali ends, and he said, the Ananta, on whom the Garbhudaksha Vishnu is lying, from his mouth emanates the fires of devastation. So these fires rise from his mouth and go up towards the planetary systems. They go higher and higher and higher. And due to the scorching heat, all the living entities run here and there and they all perish. So this goes on for 36,000 years, that is 100 demigod years. 36,000 years continuously. And after that is over, if somebody has survived the heat somehow by hiding somewhere inside, then there is the waters of devastation. It is said all the oceans, big tides start coming in the oceans, which rise sky high. The ocean starts swelling and flowing into the lands, and gradually the lands are submerged. Even now, they are saying America is gradually submerging into the ocean. You heard it? It is due to the melting of the snow cap. Gradually. And Chinese have predicted in how many years the whole land is going to submerge. Only Mexico will be, something like that they have said. Only Mexico will be up, everything else will be inside water or whatever. So it is not uncommon for the ocean to overflow. Don't think ocean will never overflow. It will always come and go back inside. So at the time of Pralaya, the whole oceans overflow. And the waters of devastation, they go so sky high, they cover the earth completely, they go even to the higher planets. Swarga also they go. Bhulok, Bhulok, Swarlok, up to Swarlok they go. When it goes to Mahalok, all the sages and saints in the Mahalok, they have a lot of siddhis. They all start flying up from Mahalok up to the Janalok, they go. And then after the Mahalok, the waters rise. And all the living entities are annihilated. They all are finished. Of course, finished means their bodies are destroyed. And then the whole universe comes to a halt. And all the living entities who were killed, they all are kept in freeze in the navel of Garbhaksha Vishnu. And all the residents of Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, with folded palms, they all offer prayers. And they all are able to behold the beauty of Vishnu. And they find Vishnu with closed eyes. He is in Yoga Nidra, not like our sleep. In our sleep, he forgets everything. But Vishnu, even when he closes his eyes, he knows everything. So he is in Yoga Nidra. And they all are offering prayers to the Vishnu. And Brahmaji also, he sleeps, they said. But Brahmaji's sleep is also different from ours. Because in his sleep, he meditates on Garbhaksha Vishnu. Where he gets instructions what to do in the next creation, in the next millennium, what is to be done. He gets all those instructions in his dream. So this is called as cosmic resolution. So at this time, when Sankarshan or the Anansesh, when he starts emanating the fire, Rudra is also called for actions. So Lavan Rudra, so Shiva does Tandav, that is the time he does Tandav, Rudra Tandav. So in Tandav, everything is annihilated like that. So there is a beautiful connection you can observe between Rudra and Sankarshan, because Sankarshan or Anantashesh is actually the worshipable deity of Rudra. And both of them jointly do the annihilation, master and servant, both of them jointly participate in the annihilation. And this way the whole cosmic order comes to a halt. And then in next Brahma's day, as Krishna explains here, later verse, again Brahmaji gives bodies to all the living entities who are kept in freeze. You see, when the living entities go to freeze in Garbhaksha Vishnu's body, it's not that now they are free from all sins. They all are carrying their load on their back, karma. What are karma for they have? It is said, Yasvendra gopamata vendra maho swakarma bandhanu rupa phalabhajana matanoti karma ayner dahati kentucha bhakti vaja govinda malipurusham tanaham bhajami. Right from Indra down to Indra Gopa. You know Indra Gopa fly? It's a small tiny fly. Top Indra up to Indra Gopa. All of them are carrying the load of karma on their back. Even when their bodies are annihilated, still they are waiting with the karma. According to the karma only they will get body. For example, say, sometimes you find even a dog, a rich dog and a poor dog, you are saying? A rich dog is eating costly biscuits, sitting in soft cushion, and master puts nice costly soap on his body and bathes him. Whereas a street dog is beaten up by young boys, in the street, and he breaks his leg and he gets nothing to eat. So both these dogs were earlier human beings. But the rich dog has done some good pious activities in the human body. That's why he has got a rich dog's body. And the street dog has done lot of sinful activities. So he gets a street dog's body. But then after finishing this term of dog's body or many other animals' body, again when they become human beings, that same also the previous karma has influence. What type of human body they will get again? So the karma bandhan, actually they are carrying it with us. So jivas are all waiting. And Paramatma is very intelligent. He is like a supercomputer. He will track up every living entity, what karma you have done, which lifetime, what did you do, what result has to be given to you, what body you have to get, what kind of nose, what kind of eyes, whether your skin should be black or white, you should be tall or short, you should be intelligent or a fool, whether you will be born in a devoted family or in a slum, everything he desires. And he gives you appropriate body in the next lifetime. And then everyone gets the body and they go on with their activities like this. So just see the life of Brahma. So in this way, Kalpa Pralaya goes on, and the total age of Brahma is 311 trillion years, 40 billion years. 311 trillion, 40 billion years. A very long life. Prabhupada writes, it's like interminable, it appears to us. As if it is amazing, too fantastic. But then, in front of Mahavishnu, what is the position of Brahma? That is like a tiny flash of time. That is why Brahma himself prays, understanding his situation. He says, what does he say?
Yasyaika nishvakita kalamata palambya jivanti loma vilajajaja dandanata Vishnur mahansaiha yasya kalavishesho govindama adipurushantana hambhajami.
He says, yasyaika nishvakita kalamata palambya. It says, all the heads of the universes, namely the Brahmas, they live by taking shelter of the time occupied by one of the Mahavishnu's breath. So all the Brahmas with 400 palms are taking shelter of the time occupied by one breath of Mahavishnu. What is one breath of Mahavishnu? Again, he exhales and he inhales. So when he is one exhalation and inhalation, Brahmandas are created, and all the Brahmandas go back into his body. So this may be too difficult for us to imagine. It's like, I was telling the example of a glow worm, isn't it? A glow worm is born in the night, 10 o'clock he is born. And then he flies here and there in the top of the trees, and everyone thinks, oh, he's wonderful. He's glowing so beautifully. But then how, what is his power? By 12 o'clock he becomes youthful, and he begets children. And then by 2 o'clock he has become an old man. And by 3 o'clock he gets all white hair. I don't know whether he has hair. And by morning 4 o'clock, he is dead. Just like the Solomon Grandi, born on Monday, died on Saturday. Like that, huh? So night 10 o'clock he is born, and morning 4 o'clock he is finished. But compare your life with his. So a glowworm may live only for one night, a dog may live for 5 years, a cow may live for 20 years, a human being may live for 100 years, a whale may live for 300 years, and demigods may live for several thousand years, and Brahmaji can live for 311 trillion years. But ultimately all of them in front of Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu is one breath, you know, the Brahmandas come out and they go inside Mahavishnu. So, but Mahavishnu is a very small time. So Prabhupada says, if Mahavishnu is breathing and everything is coming and going, that means there has to be time, even in the spiritual sky. So even in spiritual world there is time, but that time cannot control the Lord or the devotees in the spiritual sky. This is the speciality. Although Mahavishnu also inhales and exhales, like we also inhale and exhale. The difference is that he is not controlled by anything. He is in yoga nidra. Just imagine, even in nidra he can do so much. We already can understand what he will do. Mahavishnu is lying in yoga nidra peacefully, and all activities are going on by his power. So in this way, Krishna explains in the three verses, especially focused on cosmic annihilation mode. So you can read these things given in great length in Srimad Bhagavatam. There it is explained that Brahmaji now has finished 50% of his life. Kaloyam vidhi viprardakshyo minesha upacharyate. So he is explaining about viprard. If you want the verse number, you can see 3:11:34 in Bhagavatam. Third canto, 11th chapter, 34th verse. Tadartham ayushastasya parardham abhidhiyate purva parardham apakranto shatarardho adhya pravartate. It is 3:11:34. Bhagavatam is explained about Brahma's life. Now Brahma's, he has a viparardha, 250 years he has got. The first 50 years period is over now. So the second 50 period is already started. So again, many, many more Kalpapralayas will come. In fact, in one Brahma's day itself, there are 14 Manus, beginning from Svayambhu Manu, Swarajisha Manu,
and Uttama Manu, Tamasa Manu, Chakshisha Manu, Vayoshita Manu. Like that, 14 Manus are there. And one Manu reigns for 71 million years. So 71 multiplied by 14 will be 1000. So that is only Brahma's state. So Brahma also has many, many assistants under him. Although in the beginning he creates art, science, philosophy, poetry, everything comes out of his body. Religion comes from his breast, religion comes from his back. He creates many, many things. After that he has many people to assist him. There are so many devatas under him who run the whole manifestation, cosmic manifestation. So from all these things, what do we understand? I have taken out 9 lessons, 9 points from these 3. What we can understand when Krishna speaks these things. Number 1, by saying these things, Krishna evokes surrender from us. Because when one hears about the condition of the material world, one understands that, hey, wherever you go, you cannot escape. Of course, you go to Mahaloka, maybe you can go up to Janaloka. But that is also finished when Brahmaji also dies. That is also finished. The whole 14 planetary systems are annihilated. You cannot escape. So by seeing this, one understands that material world is a place of suffering, whether you go to heaven or hell. So better wind up my term in the material world and go back home back to Godhead. Let me surrender to Krishna. Second, it explains about the temporary nature of the material world, which actually leads to detachment. It leads to detachment. Actually, when we know something is temporary, clearly, then we can achieve detachment. Now, for example, somebody is given a post for 1 or 2 years, and you know that, like I think politicians are given for 5 years, isn't it? After the 5 years, they have to come, they have to get down from their seats, isn't it? Obviously, somebody has to be elected like that. So it's a temporary thing. Most often we don't realize that it's temporary. But the more you can clearly see something is temporary, gradually one can achieve detachment. Like we were singing just now, Kamala Dala Jala, Jivana Talamala. That's why I sang that song now. Because all the things achieved in the world are like bubbles in Atlantic Ocean. Bubbles. They are like bubbles. Bubble comes up, and sometimes, cut, it immediately breaks. And then somewhere else another bubble comes up. Similarly, all the situations that come in our life, that sometimes people glorify you for your achievements. Another time you face failure. Or sometimes you achieve something that is taken away after some time. And it remains with you for some period of time. Even our youth, how long it remains with us? It remains for some time, it goes away. Bodily beauty, it goes away. Beauty cinema actors, actresses, after some years they don't act. They say that now I am tired. Actually they are not tired. They have grown old and they don't want to lose their image. So if they show their face and show their white hair, nobody will look at them afterwards. And their fame will be gone. So youth is lost, wealth is lost, health is lost, body is lost, everything is lost. And we see that they are just like a bubble. Everything is temporary in this world. So it's like standing on a tottering platform, Govind does the same. Kamala Dalajala, Jivana Talamala. But in Haripadani today. But if one surrenders to Krishna and becomes a bhakta, the bhakti that he achieves, that is never lost. He actually carries the bhakti from one life to the next life. It is never lost. All of you all have so much bhakti now. This bhakti is not something you started in this lifetime, or 1 year ago, or 2 years ago. You must have started this several lifetimes before. And you must have done 10%, 20%, 30%. And the more you did, the more you will understand the subjects that we are speaking. That we are reading from Bhagavad Gita. And the more, not only understanding, the more you are able to develop faith in these sublime spiritual truths that are given, that means that much progress you have made in the previous lives. Which is like a cumulative total, just like you go to a bank, you know, you go on putting money. They tell you the cumulative total later on. In the passbook you have seen, you put 1,000 rupees, you put 5,000, 10,000. One day you go and say, oh, now I have 90,000. You become one, that's cumulative total. So very little bhakti you have done and all that has accumulated, and now we have advanced and come to a stage where we are understanding, and now we have to make even further progress. That will never be lost. Whereas everything else is temporary. So by seeing the temporary nature, one becomes gradually detached. As I was telling the example of that particular type of crane, you know. What was it? In Bhagavatam it explains that he was trying to enjoy a fish. All the other, it's not a crane, it's another bird also. All the other cranes, they came to attack him. They were telling him, he was actually a weakling. There was a weakling crane holding a fish. And all the other cranes said, hey, attack him, kill him, and take that fish away. So seeing that, he gave up the fish. Yeah, one particular bird, yeah. No, whatever it is, the theme is this, that he says, he understood that he is only going to suffer by holding on to that fish. Better I give it up. Similarly, the living being understands by holding on to this temporary body and temporary things, I am only suffering more and more. Better I give up this and get become detached and develop my attachment to Krishna. So that means we are looking for permanent shelter, not a temporary shelter. Everyone in this world is giving us temporary shelter. Nobody can give you permanent shelter. Like when people ask of permanent job, is it a permanent job or temporary job? Nowadays even in permanent job they give you forced voluntary service. Forced VRS. I don't know whether it makes sense to call it as forced VRS. So they give you a form and tell you, now you give VRS. You must give. And they put you in the car and send you home. So instead of calling it as forced VRS, you can call it as forced RS. Forced resignation. So there is nothing permanent. There is no permanent job and there is no permanent home. When you live in a home, we may have our own house, we may have own things, all these own things will be gone at the time of death. So understanding the temporal nature, we can become detached. That's why Krishna is telling here, just see how pralaya is taking place. Sankarsan is emanating fire, and the oceans are swelling and all living things are annihilated, everyone is finished. So hearing this gives us detachment. Let me not be a fool, running here and there, accumulating this and that. Let me become detached from material things and become attached to Krishna. Thirdly, we understand that Brahma has a big life, but that is also like a bubble in the ocean. So whether one has a long life or a short life, ultimately it is temporary. You can understand that. That's what Krishna wants to tell us. He tells us that see Brahma's condition and compare yourself with his. So you are like a glow worm in front of Brahma. It is like that. So he wants us to compare ourselves and understand how our life is so short compared to Brahma's. And fourthly, he refutes demigod worship. How? How is he refuting demigod worship? He is saying that even the heavens are also submerged in water. Even the heavenly people also are submerged in water and fire and everything, and they are annihilated. So he says, don't make any plans to go to heaven by worshipping the demigods. So don't foolishly surrender, he's saying. And fifth point, he explains how we are helpless and insignificant. So that leads to humility. So he wants to make us humble. That although everyone in this world is so proud of his achievements and so proud of himself, he wants to understand how insignificant we are. Prabhupada was once talking to Tamaksha Goswami. One Tamaksha Goswami, I think it was in Los Angeles, talking to Prabhupada, he was saying something. And Prabhupada told him about Mahavishnu. Then he told how great is Mahavishnu. All the universes are coming from his body, and every universe is like a mustard seed for him. And within those universes, there are 14 planetary systems. And within those systems, we are in the Madhya Loka, 7th planetary system. In that there are so many planets in the Earth planet. America is one small piece of land. And in America, Los Angeles is even more smaller. And in Los Angeles, the ISKCON temple where we are living, is even more smaller. And in the ISKCON temple, there are many, many rooms. In one room, Tamala Krishna Goswami was telling, you are in one corner of this room. And he thinks, as it was telling. So, how insignificant we can understand when we hear this thing. And also we can understand how helpless we are, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing in one song, you know. Taribare Nadeki Upai, what is the song? Anadi karma pale padibhava navajale Taribare Nadeki Upai. Singing. That's another song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a very nice song. He says,
दुखे साधने बदियची पूतन
Then he thinks that this world is like a great storm and it's like a vast ocean and my eyes are blinded and I don't know where is what. What am I doing? Where am I going? I'm just thrown in that ocean like a straw. I'm being tossed in that vast ocean. So then he's praying to Lord that, my dear Lord, unless you, sir, you save me from this situation, nobody else can save me. So it's a very beautiful song. He's singing,
O tal deo hati che chutiya ki hame kaha jaane na deena dayal tumhi bhagwan paar karo amai Chane Tufan.
He's saying Chane Tufan. I'm seeing Tufan, I'm seeing storm everywhere. So this is the vision of a very advanced devotee. He can see that the whole world is in flux, constant flux, constantly changing, constantly put into problems. But in our situation, we always think the whole world is full of facilities to enjoy. How nice is the soft bed. Hiranya Kashipu means gold. Kashipu means soft bed. So Hiranya, he wanted to accumulate money and enjoy with the money. That's what he wanted to do. And on all the modern life, modern man teaches you how to become a tiny Hiranya Kashipu. You cannot become like Hiranya Kashipu. You can become a tiny sample of Hiranya Kashipu. So modern civilization is creating all tiny Hiranya Kashipu. So all very proud of that. Great products. They are thinking that we can conquer and can enjoy. But by understanding these verses, we understand how helpless and insignificant we are. We are like a tiny globe or like a mosquito. So that actually arouses humility in our heart. So when we have humility, then with that humility we can easily take shelter of Krishna. Easily chant his names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You see, it is said, there are no atheists even in a foxhole, it is said. It is said when bombs are being dropped, even the atheists who are hiding in the bomb shelter, you know, when they go to the bomb shelter, that nobody sees any difference. Who is rich, who is poor, who is an atheist, everyone is praying like this. You know? Because they are thinking nobody should detect this bomb shelter. You know? Because a rich man cannot bribe the bomb, can he? Or can a rich, can a intelligent scholar have some debate or argument with the bomb? They can't do anything. They can't do anything. Even a beautiful woman cannot argue with the bomb. So the bomb is being dropped everywhere. And the foxhole is sitting and seeing like that. So there is no atheist even in a foxhole, they said. So everyone is praying. That time everyone becomes humble. You know, in the Apollo, when scientists are traveling, there was a danger. It was thought that the Apollo is going to crash. Everyone with full lungs are praying, all the scientists are praying. You know, till then they never thought of whether God exists or not. At that time they said, go God, we don't know whether you are person or impersonal, go where you are. The scientists say that. Immediately everyone prayed. So, we become humbled by understanding our situation through these verses. Then we can take shelter of Lord. And this point, it makes us udarati. Krishna says, no, udarati. Anybody knows where this word comes, udarati? Correct. Moksha kama udarati. Akama karu kama va moksha kama udarati. See, udara means magnanimous. Dhi means intelligence. So magnanimous intelligence means our intelligence becomes very vast when we read the scriptures. You see, modern civilization teaches us analysis and micro-analysis. Like, you know, they study about atom. And they even do micro-analysis of atom. They study electrons, protons, neutrons, masons and everything. So by analyzing more and more minute, the subject becomes only more and more complex. But by seeing from a broader perspective, Krishna categorizes the whole material nature in one verse. What is the verse? Bhumi Rapo Anala Vayu Kam Manaha Buddhi Revacha. What about my nose? It is Bhumi. What about my hand? That is of the Bhumi. What about sand? That is Bhumi. What about iron? That is of the Bhumi. What about ocean? Oh, that is water. What about my blood? That is water. So Krishna gives a broad category by which you don't have to do microanalysis. He simplifies the subject so easily. So when one studies Shastra, our intelligence becomes magnificent, very great. For example, now you are hearing from the largest perspective possible, isn't it? From Mahavishnu, whose one Shwas is 311 trillion, 40 billion years. And then within that we saw Brahma's life, how vast it is. We saw all the planetary systems, and within that we saw up to the level of Yogam's life, isn't it? From tiniest, from micro to macro. Everything we understand. So this is called Udharati. It gives you to see from a broad perspective, not a sankachit hridayam, vishalam. It's not a narrow-minded thing, it's a very vast intelligence one achieves by that. That's why Prabhupada in one place writes, just recently, 5 years ago, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Just recently. So scientists here, they'll be shocked. Recently. 500 years ago, how can you call it recent? For them, recent means today morning. That is recent. Because even yesterday's news becomes cold. Even if you see the newspaper yesterday, even if you throw it away. Yesterday's news. Prabhupada says, recently 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So when you study Shastra, your intelligence becomes so vast that you can consider 500 years to be recent. Because we are talking in terms of millions and trillions of years. So 500 years becomes recent for you. That's how one's intelligence expands by this, by understanding this. And seventh point, it gives us the spiritual perspective of creation and annihilation. Gives us a spiritual perspective. Unfortunately, all the children going to school are bombarded with Darwin's philosophy that man came from monkey and everything came from nothing. They are learning all these things. I'm very fascinated in my childhood when I had gone once to hear some Ramayana Mahabharata Katha, one elderly person, so he was telling the same thing. Still it was, when I came to ISKCON, it was stretching my mind. But you know, there was some lotus and Brahma was sitting in that lotus and then he did meditation and he saw the beautiful form of Vishnu and he told us, understand, the Vishnu's form, the Ram's form is not ordinary. Their body is like lightning, not like your body, not like ordinary body. Our body is made of flesh, but Lord's body is spiritual. That time we didn't even know what is spiritual, but we knew one thing. Just like lightning is different from any ordinary thing, Lord's body must be very special. So that became engraved in the mind when you have entered childhood. Now when we read about this, how wonderful, how amazing it is, the creation, the spiritual perspective. Not that there was some float time and the exam and everything was floating and, you know, all of a sudden everything came about. You place a dynamite and a beautiful flag came about. Beautiful society came about. Krishna doesn't say like that. He explains very beautifully, systematically, the Shastra explains creation. Spiritual perspective of creation and annihilation. So, we can hear that, understand it, and we can propagate it for others. So we don't have to hear only from the materialistic people who are like frog in the well. You know, frog in the well? There was a frog living in the well. She didn't know anything beyond the well. And another frog, she once jumped into this well. She was from Atlantic Ocean. So he came from the ocean, he saw this frog living in the well. He asked him, you have never gone up? He said, no, I have never gone. So he said, where are you coming from? He said, I am from Atlantic Ocean. So this frog asked him, tell me, how big is your house? Is it as big as mine? I asked him. And that frog laughed out. He asked, what is your house? This is so tiny. That is ocean, there is no comparison. It is billion times bigger than this. So the frog started swelling and asking, is it as big? And finally exploded. So the same Prabhupada says, scientists cannot see anything beyond their mundane senses. The Lord is called as Adokshaja. Adokshaja means one who is beyond the range of the senses. So Kuntiman is praying in one of her first prayers, Namaste Purusham Tvadhyam. Adhyam means original. Namaste Purusham. All of this is it. Namaste Purusham Tvadhyam.
Namaste Purusham Tvadhyam.
ईश्वरं प्रकृते परम् अलक्ष्यं सर्वभूतानां अंतर्बहिरवस्थितम्। So she's saying, Namaste Purusham to Atyam. Krishna, you are the original personality of Godhead. And Namaste, I offer my obeisances to you. Ishwaram Prakriti Param, you are beyond the Prakriti, you are beyond the material nature, you are not ordinary, you are divine, you are transcendental. Hmm? Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam, Alakshyam means you cannot see the Lord with mundane eyes. Antar Bhagavatam, although you are situated in their own heart, still they cannot see you. You are inside the heart and they are outside the heart, you cannot see you. That's why, example is given in Bhagavatam, you know, if you have to pick up the glass in your hands, you have to use your eyes to see the glass first, isn't it? Only then you can pick up with your hand. Is the hand having any eyes itself? No. But then how the hand without any eyes is able to grasp the glass? Because it is getting the help of the eyes. So Bhagavatam compares eyes to Paramatma and the hand to the Jiva. So Jivatma is doing so many things in this world, but who is guiding him? Paramatma. But can the hand know that the eyes are guiding him? Similarly, Jiva doesn't know his directly Paramatma. That is his problem. Alakshyam Sarva Bhutana. They cannot know that they are being guided by the Lord. But it is not that we can never know. We can come to know. If we also follow in the footsteps of our first Acharya Brahma. Brahma is the first Acharya in our line. So he performed penance. He took the instructions of the Lord. And then he achieved it. Subtler and subtler and subtler vision. After that he saw the beautiful form of Vishnu. So we also can come to the point of understanding of the thing, not like the doctor frog living in the well, perceiving everything with his imperfect senses, imperfect eyes and imperfect ears and imperfect senses. We can perceive spiritual things by hearing from the authorities. And 8th point, authoritative, because it is word of God. By hearing these things, you understand the weight of the authority of Krishna with which he speaks. These things have to be true. They cannot be false. Because, like for example, Vehinosnyatadehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jara. From childhood to old age to youth to old age, the soul is passing from one body to another. So, this concept of the Atma and the body was not believed by scientists for a long time. But now scientists have understood that there is something in the body that is different from the body, which passes from one body to another. That's how the past life memories have been studied by Dr. Ian Stevenson. We have studied near death experiences. So the Shastric truths are all being proved by the scientists one by one, which goes to show that the Shastras can never go wrong. They have always stood the test of time. Shastras have said this millions of years ago, and now the scientists are finding out that it is true. Whereas scientists, they change things which they are told in the morning. Morning they say something and evening they change it. So all the textbooks in the schools, they are changed, updated, revised and modified. And all the theories are being disposed of, just like a disposable napkin. With a disposable napkin, you use a napkin and throw it away. And then you throw the old theories and put new theories there. Similar in America, if you live in India, it's very nice. Such publication actually increases the faith of the general people. So that may give impetus to increase the general faith. But after we get faith, little faith, we have to actually develop more faith by hearing from authoritative sources, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. So when we hear this kind of verses, we already see that whatever Krishna said in second chapter is being proved by scientists, by many things. So when you go ahead and hear the other part of Bhagavad Gita, because you already developed faith in the authoritative statements of Krishna, by hearing these things, our faith in the authority increases more and more. Actually, how faith develops, first you have little faith, and that develops into more faith, and develops into more faith. It's like a two-way thing. You have little faith, and then you worship Krishna, and then he is very pleased with you, he gives you his mercy. When you get the mercy, your faith increases more. Then you show more surrender. When seeing your more surrender, he gives you even more faith, like that. So, these are authoritative statements of Krishna. Once, Srila Gopinath Swami was speaking in Pune, and the verse, Manmana Bhavan Basu. He was telling, see, this verse has emanated from the lips of Krishna. Matmana, think of me, Krishna has said. So this, one has to hear it, understanding that it stands outside time, he said. It is the eternal vachan of Krishna. Think of me. So you don't need anything else. You take this vachan as your life and soul and apply it in your life to achieve perfection. So we have to hear these statements with such faith. Then that faith can actually help us advance very fastly. So this is authoritative because it is word of God that we understand. And ninth, we understand the Lord's greatness from understanding this. So if Brahma is so great, how much more Krishna must be great? When Brahma is praised in Bhagavatam and Lord, that is it. My dear Lord, I am like a globum and you are like a sun, he says. The globum can show his progress in the night, the darkness of the night, the flying here and there. But when the sun rises in the morning, in the east, what is the power of the globum? So Brahmaji compares himself to the globum like that. So by hearing this verse, you understand how great is Krishna. And in this way, and tenth, that's the last lesson, is told by Prabhupada himself. Prabhupada says, in one of the lectures, Prabhupada was speaking about these things. And they asked the devotees, so what do you feel, why Krishna is speaking all these things? He asked them. And somebody said, Prabhupada, Krishna wants us to give us some kind of statistics or, you know, some kind of understanding about the time of the universe, somebody said. Prabhupada said, no. And somebody said, Krishna wants us to give some philosophical understanding of the planetary systems, how they are arranged and everything. Prabhupada said, has to be there. And then Prabhupada concluded saying that, see, he is telling all these things to make you understand, get out, don't wait here. So go back home, back to Godhead. So he wants to make the living entities understand that this material world is not meant for a gentleman. So he continues living here. Because it's always a place of death. Padam, padam, jati, padam, natesha. At every step there is danger. So Prabhupada said that is the only main theme of this whole three verses. That after hearing about the changing, constantly changing material world, one should not want to continue living there. Rather, one should want to go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada explained like that. So they say, in these three verses, we understood about the material world, and in next class, Krishna will be speaking and the next part, Pasmatsu Bhavan, a very nice verse about the spiritual world. So we will hear about the spiritual